Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. As always, we thank you for listening to AFR and for joining us for this program. Walker Wildman with me this morning. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning.
What's happening on Facebook for for Today's Issues?
If you want to watch the show and see all our wonderful faces, then you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page. And also, if you want to read more about the articles we talk about, you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page. And, of course, if you're not a Facebook fan, then you can just go to AFR.net and find just as much valuable information there.
Okay, so a lot going on there. And Dr. Ray Pritchard is joining me to co-host today. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. You say it's sunshine in Dallas today?
Oh, it's sunshine and blue skies. Almost perfect weather here in Dallas, like maybe 75 degrees this afternoon. So, yeah, good bike riding weather.
We got storms in Tupelo.
Well, I heard that. I looked on the map, you know.
Bad weather. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
We've had a drought in a lot of the South has had a drought for several months. So the rain is welcome, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I don't want the rain just to dissipate. I don't care if the rain, it can rain all at once, just not during, you know, when we start golfing.
Right. The really important things of life.
Yes, that's right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it can rain all day, every
Doesn't
day.
Matter.
I don't care. The rivers right. can flood. I don't
no,
care. But
no,
Saturday, it better be sunshine because that's my only day. Maybe Sunday afternoon if all's well at home.
That's
anyway,
right.
Enough about me. Enough about me and my hobbies. Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is here. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you. You know, talking about weather, we were just talking before it went on the air. The Patriots, they're supposed to have their victory parade today.
Yeah.
I guess in Boston.
Yes.
Not a good place for a victory parade today in Boston.
Why?
On February the 7th, the weather.
Is it?
Yeah. They should have moved it to Dallas, obviously.
Is it snow?
apparently it's ugly. We were talking about it earlier.
Oh, they're used to snow.
It's winter in Boston.
Okay.
Not a good time for a victory parade.
Now, Fred, I heard that they were going to have one in Atlanta, but it was suddenly canceled.
Ooh, that is just downright mean, Ray.
That's cold right there.
The crowd may not have been enthusiastic.
No, those Atlanta fans suffered enough, and now you're piling on.
That's awful. That's really bad.
I don't think it's a good Christian witness.
We're just trying to support our friends in Atlanta in their time of sorrow and complete unbelief.
Oh, they're beyond sorrow. They're in they're in deep winter depression in Atlanta because the way they lost that game will haunt that franchise forever and their fan base, unfortunately.
And that's our cheery news for our friends in Georgia.
But you know who
You'll
loves it.
You'll never get over this.
Exactly.
Is the
yeah.
Patriot fans.
Who loves what?
The win, the upset.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't an upset, but you mean the comeback?
The comeback.
Yeah. It was at halftime. If you're banking
okay,
the end of the game.
Okay, go ahead and make Atlanta fans relive it again, Walker.
just
go ahead and
just
start at halftime.
One more time.
28-3.
28-3 with 2 minutes
right,
left.
Right, so 25 point.
Right.
Comeback?
Yeah.
But that's not possible. That really couldn't happen in the Super Bowl, could it?
We all saw it. We all saw it with our own eyes, what happened there.
We still can't understand it or explain it.
Yeah, you know, somebody was talking. I know everybody listening are not sports fans, but somebody was saying yesterday I was listening, they said, you know, the last year – you've had the NCAA National Championship basketball game end with a last-second shot
mm-hmm.
as Villanova beat was it North Carolina? Anyway, remember that drama?
Right.
And then you had the Chicago Cubs win their first World Series in 100 years.
Right, in extra innings.
In extra innings. Then you had the Cleveland Cavaliers come back after being down 3-1 to the unstoppable Golden State Warriors.
Right.
And now you have
Alabama, then Clemson.
Oh, yeah, then
Alabama.
Clemson upsets number one Alabama on the last play of the game in the national championship. And now you have this improbable, impossible, never before, never will happen again comeback of the Patriots over the – I mean, it's just – if you like sports drama – That's why. If you want to know why people watch the games, those examples right there are why people watch the games. Lot to talk about today. Outside of the sports world, on a more serious note, although sports is serious to a lot of people. Fred, what's going on?
All right, big news out of Washington at this hour will be today the vote on President Trump's nominee for Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. If you've been near radio, TV over the last 2 weeks or so, this is going to be probably a precedent. What happened yesterday is the Democrats got up in the Senate and said, we're going to talk for the next 24 hours. And indeed, they have done that. They've been getting up and making speeches against Betsy DeVos. They don't want her as Secretary of Education. They say she's really rich, so I guess they don't like rich people. And they say she's never gone to a public school. Therefore, they say she's not qualified to be the Secretary of Education. We're down to the point where the two Republicans who announced last week, Collins of Maine and the senator from Alaska, Murkowski, they are going to vote with the Democrats. So we're going to have a situation, it looks like, this afternoon sometime, where Vice President Pence is going to have to come in and put the deciding vote. This is history in the making. A vice president has never had to come in on a cabinet nomination and do a deciding vote. But it looks like it's going to happen this afternoon. And at the end of the day, Betsy DeVos probably, unless something happens, will be the Secretary of Education.
What's the opposition to her for?
Well, the Democrats say she hasn't had any experience in public schools. She's never gone to a public school. What she is an advocate of is school choice. What she has stated clearly is she wants to put education back in the hands of parents and that the taxpayers' dollars of those parents ought to follow their kids to the place where they think their kids can get the best education. School choice. She is an advocate of school choice. She has never stated she's against public schools, but she says mom and dads who are in areas where the public school is failing their kids, we think those parents ought to have the right vouchers, whatever the case may be, to send their kids to a better school.
Well, who could object to that?
Democrats.
Okay.
And two Republicans.
Simple enough.
Two Republicans. Two of the Republicans.
Collins, Senator Collins.
From
Maine.
Maine.
And Murkowski from Alaska.
They oppose because they're paid off by the teachers' unions.
That is the word.
Yep.
That is
Walker,
the word.
Walker, why don't you just...
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say
that. Tell us how.
Well, they're opposed because...
The teachers' unions, or the National Education Association would be opposed to anyone who ever even thought about being for school choice.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
Fred, okay. Is there any chance of them peeling off one more Republican senator in tanking the whole nomination?
Well, it's the first thing I checked this morning, and even the Associated Press was saying that it doesn't look like the 24 hours of talking by the Democrats has changed any Republican minds. The supposition is all Democrats will vote against, the 48 senators will vote against DeVos, and those two Republicans, that leaves it 50-50, which is why Vice President Pence is likely to come in and cast a deciding vote.
So that's today. I want to know what month they expect Jeff Sessions to be the new Attorney General. Can you give us that information, Fred?
It's coming up.
Or what year?
Yeah. Sessions and Price, what we're told is that the Senate will have votes on those nominees, Sessions Attorney General, Price for Health and Human Services. Even if they have to stay in, the Democrats are saying we may do this 24-hour thing all week. The Republicans are saying, fine, even if we have to come in on Saturday, we will do it. We are going to pass those. And we know that they have the numbers to do that. And that's thanks to Harry Reid and the nuclear option. Instead of filibusters requiring 60 votes, that they'll do the bare minimum.
Are you saying that the Democrats are going to filibuster a vote?
They're going to keep talking for 24 hours.
Right.
The what I'm saying is that they may try to filibuster, but the word is, because Harry Reid set the precedent for federal judges that you'd only need a simple majority, the Republicans say they will go that route if they're forced to do it.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking about the same thing? You said federal judges. I'm talking about the Attorney General.
Yes, Attorney General. If they have to for Senator Sessions to make him Attorney General, the Republicans
it's
say
the same rule.
We'll use the
nuclear
the same
rule. Yeah, Harry Reid. Harry Reid. That's appropriate. Harry Reid invoked a 50-vote rule. It used to be 60 to get federal judges put on the bench.
Yes.
Well, for Obama, for President Obama, he invoked the 50-vote, which is simple majority, 51 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's he invoked it for the federal judges, but it can be used also for the cabinet members.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's what it looks
well,
like.
Well, you know, I don't know that this has been done before, this kind of delay tactics for these cabinet position officials that a president wants on his team. The vote, just vote yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Vote up or down. But give these guys and these ladies a vote. Well, joining us to talk about this and other news is Dr. Frank Turek. Joins us every Tuesday that he wants to, that he feels like it, that he makes us a priority. And he's from Cross Examine Ministries out of Charlotte, NC. How you doing, Frank?
You guys are a priority today.
Well, thank you.
Hey,
we're honored.
By the way, the reason I think Sessions hasn't been confirmed yet is because as soon as he's confirmed, they lose that vote in the Senate and DeVos doesn't get through.
That's right. That's part of the math. You're exactly right.
So,
though this is on the Republicans?
Well, I think that might be the reason they haven't confirmed him yet, because they need his vote to get DeVos through.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Okay. Well,
so, I don't know how long it takes to get another senator in his place, so that might be the reason why. And look, DeVos has spent a lot of her life trying to work for education reform, and that, I think, makes her qualified to be in the position. Just because she doesn't agree with the Democrats, it's the president who gets to put his policy views in place in his cabinet, not the Democrats. So he is totally within his rights to nominate her, and she's totally qualified. If they don't want to vote for her, fine, but don't tell people she's not qualified, because she is.
And this is how desperate the Democrats are. They condemned Betsy DeVos the other day for never having to take out a student loan.
Student loan?
They condemned her. And she said, well, I paid for my own education.
Right.
And they thought that was terrible. You never had to pay. You never had to take out a student loan. No, I didn't. Well, there you go. You're not qualified.
Isn't it amazing that the Democrats they're for the choice to kill a child, but not for the choice to educate a child?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Mm. Isn't that the most hypocritical thing you've ever heard?
I know.
Mm.
I mean, if you're pro-choice, then be pro-choice. Come on.
Yeah. So do you think the rest of we're lacking, Frank, we're lacking Tom Price for Health and Human Services. Tom Price for Health and Human Services, I don't think he's the congressman from Georgia, but he's yet to be confirmed.
Mm.
He is very pro-life, by the way, and will help end the funding of Planned Parenthood and any other abortion pro-abortion organizations that the Health and Human Services have a relationship with in terms of funding. So he'll be a huge asset to the pro-life cause there.
Absolutely.
When he's confirmed. And then Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, we just talked about him, when he gets to be Attorney General, that will help President Bush. I'm like Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
I was reading a story by Nancy Pelosi. I want to talk about that in just a minute, but Frank, Jeff Sessions will help tremendously with President. He could help right now with this judge out in with this situation with the immigration executive order, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And in fact, Trump is totally within his rights to do what he did in his executive order to protect the American people. So this judge is once again involved in judicial activism, and that shouldn't stand. And hopefully his executive order will be reinstated.
Hey, Ray, talking about this topic, I wanted to ask you, since you're in Dallas, Have you been keeping up with what the governor is doing there with sanctuary cities in the state of Texas?
Yeah, he is. Our governor, Greg Abbott, has taken a stand against sanctuary cities here. And Dallas is one, and I believe Houston is one, and San Antonio as well. And basically, he is doing what a governor is supposed to do. He is saying, if you want to go down that road, we're going to work on the funding side. Because that really is the power, both that the president has and the governor has. And he's saying to the city that I'm living in right now, that if you continue as a sanctuary city, you're going to lose funding from Austin. And that at least is, you know, money is a language that politicians do understand. So I'm really grateful for Governor Abbott for taking a strong stand. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's in Texas. Of course, President Bush, forget I said that. Let me get this story out of the way so I can get this out of my brain here.
Hey, Bush is trumping Trump right now. What's going
that's right.
on?
Come
All
on.
Right, let me tell people why I keep saying President Bush. I've been reading this story about Nancy Pelosi. Yesterday, she was. This story says a day after House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California, was grilled by Meet the Press host Chuck Todd on whether the party's leadership was out of touch with the current political climate. The nearly three-decade veteran of Congress mistakenly referred to President Trump as President Bush. So we have that clip. We're about to play that, but let me just say, so we're about to hear Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi do what I just did, except I only did it because I was reading a story about her doing it and it was on my mind. So I have an out, but let's hear Nancy Pelosi.
While it's only a couple of weeks since the inauguration, there's complete evidence, we've seen nothing that we can work, but I can work with President Bush on, and I'm disappointed because I thought that there might be some interest.
Now, I'm not the Democrat leader, okay? I'm just a little radio person here, but this is the leader, Frank, of the Senate, and excuse me, of the House, Democrats, and she's referring to President Trump as President Bush. Is she getting old?
She may be. She just had Bush on her mind. You know, I sometimes
blame Bush.
Get my words mangled up too. And Bush was famous for that, as you know, strategery.
Yeah.
He was famous for mangling his words. Yeah. So I'll give her some grace on this. I know when she. By the way, have you ever done that where you're speaking and you don't even recognize that you're saying something incorrectly, and then you hear it and you go, you know, if it was recorded or something, you go, wow, I didn't even realize I said that.
Well, and none of the she had a lot of her Democrat colleagues there with her as she was talking to the press, and none of them corrected her.
Who dare correct Nancy Pelosi?
That's right.
I thought they're going to Ray. You'd lose it. I guess you'd lose your position if you said, "Excuse me, Nancy."
That's right. That's the end of it. I mean, who's going to correct her? Right.
Here's what I got out of that. I got out of that. We will. I will not work with any Republican president, whether it be President Trump or President Bush.
That's why, you know,
it's kind of a fill in the blank.
I think it was probably the Russians that hacked her mind. What do you think? It was the Russians
the
that
Russians.
Did that. The Russians.
I also
think the Russians hacked in to the Super Bowl game the other day and made the Falcons be complete boneheads.
Here we go again.
Look,
I hear bitterness.
All Matt Ryan had to do was throw an incomplete pass, and he would have won the Super Bowl. Do you realize that?
I know.
He had to throw an incomplete pass. Just throw it away. Don't take the sack. You kick a field goal, you win.
Run the ball, kick the field goal. Come on.
Right, Frank, you didn't hear us earlier. We already beat up the Falcons.
And the
fans, we did it again. They had to relive their pain and agony for the first few minutes.
For our friends in Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I'm not taking anything away from Brady and the Patriots. They had a great comeback. Right. But, I mean,
I
that never would have happened if the Falcons just had.
Right, right.
Maybe Bill Belichick is like an occultist or something, and he somehow gets the other team to do silly things, like when Pete Carroll decided to pass instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1-yard line.
Right.
I mean –
I know, and these guys get paid a lot of money to make these decisions. And
that's right. Run the ball.
And then they go among. All right, Fred, tell us what else is there. You got another news story.
I want you to hear this, guys. We have a gentleman by the name of Kevin DeLeon. He is the head of the Democrats in the California Senate. He is the California State Senate leader. He gets up and makes a speech the other day. He's against Trump on everything, and particularly with, you know, wanting to secure our borders. He gets up, makes a speech in the Senate where he says, half of my family is in the country illegally. All right? Confession number one. Confession number two, he then proceeds to say how easy it is to get fraudulent documents such as green cards, Social Security cards, and you name it. How easy it is.
Do you have that clip?
We have the clip.
How long is the clip? 2 minutes? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think we also agree. I think Mr. Stone and Mr. Anderson will also agree. Everyone on this committee will agree that immigrants who come to this country, the vast majority, irrespective of their legal status, are very hardworking, law-abiding residents who pay their taxes every year. And the reality is, with the executive order and the criteria that has been developed, any individual, I can tell you half of my family, would be eligible for deportation under the executive order. Because if they got a false Social Security card, if they got a false identification, if they got a false driver's license prior to us passing AB 60, if they got a false green card. And anyone who has family members, you know, who are undocumented knows that almost entirely everybody has secured some sort of false identification. That's what you need to survive, to work. They are eligible for massive deportation. So the reality is,
this gentleman here you're listening to is the second most powerful Democrat in California, true?
Correct.
His last name is what?
His name is Kevin DeLeon.
And he's saying half his family's here illegally and that there's massive fraud in the...
Yeah. He said, you know, you can go to MacArthur Park, well-known park there in Southern California, and you can get a fraudulently made green card, Social Security card, driver's license.
But he doesn't have a problem. He doesn't condemn it.
He says they need that in order to get a job.
It's all courtesy of the Russians. They just set up a table there and they do it for you.
Well, this is a confession.
Yes.
And now this, in light of what he's saying right here, I know everybody's jumped on President Trump, saying, laughing him off the, you know, off the map because they say that he talks about massive voter fraud. Well, in California, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not massive voter fraud. If you listen to this gentleman talk about how much fraud there is in the illegal immigration, cause.
But they don't care, Tim. They don't care about illegal immigration. They want open borders. So it doesn't matter whether you're giving people illegal green cards, according to them. They just want people to come into this country. Of course, as soon as you ask them, do you have a lock on your door at your house, they're going to say yes. And then you'll say, well, why are you for that border? Why don't you have open borders into your house?
I got one funny note, if you're going to have fun with this, is 84 Lumber, the company that on Sunday during the Super Bowl played the pro-illegal immigration advertising spot, people who saw that. Well, we had an employee of ours here at AFA go by the 84 Lumber store, and they had a fence around their
property.
their property.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So anyway, it's just these people that are for open borders – that's going to destroy our country. That's one of the reasons that President Trump won, was a last-ditch effort to get control of our immigration situation and the illegal immigration coming in from the southern border. Listen, Frank, tell us about your ministry and where people can find out more information.
Crossexamine.org. And on this Saturday morning at 9 Central, we'll be talking about, again, a follow-up to our last week's session. There are no verses in the Bible. There are no verses in the Bible. In other words, how to interpret the Bible properly. We'll be talking about it this Saturday, 9 Central, right here.
Okay. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, brother.
We'll be back after the break. Sandy Rios with Sandy Rios in the Morning will join us in just a few minutes. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred. We'll be back. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be John Stemberger, founder of Trail Life USA.
We have a statement of faith that was hammered out in Louisville at the founding of our organization. We decided there we were going to become a Christ-centered program. Understand, we debated other models.
We'll also hear from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Well, today's a pretty exciting day at the Fox News corner of the world. My new book is officially in bookstores, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. It's a call to action for conservatives, a guidebook on how we can restore traditional American values in our towns, our schools, and our homes. The book's been endorsed by Franklin Graham, Duck Commander Phil Robertson, even my Aunt Lynn from Mississippi. I truly believe that divine providence played a role on Election Day. We came pretty close to losing our nation, but America's been given a second chance. We've got to get this right, folks. President Obama called us bitter, Hillary Clinton called us deplorable, but Donald Trump called us Americans. And I do believe he will deliver on that promise to make America great again, but only if we, the people, the deplorables, do our part, too. To get a copy, visit deplorablesbook.com. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. We now know the secret to getting liberals to talk about American exceptionalism. I'll tell you what it is. The Democrats keep talking about impeachment. Do they have a chance? And Neil Gorsuch's church is rapidly pro-gay, pro-Islam, and anti-Trump. Does it make a difference? Coming up on Focal Point today at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Walker Wildman. Walker, what did you put up on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, we're doing Facebook Live, so you can watch the show there. I also posted the Senate confirmation story from OneNewsNow.com regarding the education.
You're on your own, man.
I was trying to say secretation, which is secretary and education put together. But the education secretary is going to be voted on here shortly within a few minutes.
Yep. Okay. So Facebook for Today's Issues, Facebook page. And Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas. Are you off the road now for a while?
Well, for this week anyway. I was up in New York last week teaching the book of Galatians at Word of Life Bible Institute. And glad it was cold up there. Real cold. Glad to be in sunny Dallas this morning.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about the Dallas weather again.
Yeah, I just mentioned it one more time.
You know, it's
golfing weather here in Texas, Tim.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. That the weather, if you watch the map, it's basically been cold north of the Mason-Dixon line and relatively warm, but in the winter, I'm talking about for the winter. But hey. You know, I'm not complaining because I can't
spring
stand cold. I can't stand cold weather. I'm looking forward to springtime. Ray, did you have any thoughts? Before the break, then we'll bring Sandy on momentarily. But before the break, we had played. I tell you what, this merits playing again. It's so short, and then Sandy can comment on it too as well. I mean, just welcome Sandy. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
Joining us. Oh, Sandy's in sunnier than Dallas, Florida.
Yeah.
It's getting worse for us here.
Yeah, eat your heart out.
That's so, wow. But both Ray and Sandy spent 2 or 3 decades in Chicago, so they paid their dues.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank
you paid
right. Before the killings.
That's right.
You paid your winter dues. You lived, 2 decades in Chicago, Sandy, or 3? Something like that?
Nobody's ever asked me that. I have to stop and think about it.
Something like that.
How long? 1980 to 2000. Yeah, 2 decades. Yeah, you're right.
That's why I'm here. That's why I have this job. I can add. Put my sock back on here. What about you, Ray? Didn't you spend a couple of decades?
About 17 years in Chicago.
Yeah, and for an Alabama boy, that's.
It was cold. That's the hard winters.
Yeah,
it's all like the hard winters.
Before the break, we played this. It merits playing again because. In framing this issue of immigration and illegal immigration, the political left in particular in this country, all they want to use on us is our heartstrings and emotion. And they want us to forget the consequences of illegal immigration. They want us to forget the realities of it, the effects on our country. And just dear, and they want to, also worse than that, they want to tell those of us who want to clamp down on illegal immigration that we are haters and that we're xenophobic and that we don't like Hispanic people. It's an unfair box they tried to put us in, but it works. It's very effective because people react and they say, I'm not against Hispanics. Please don't say that about me. How can I prove to you? Well, I'll be for all the illegal immigrants having amnesty so I can prove to you that I'm not a hater. I mean, this is how this works. But I want you to listen to and keep what you're about to hear, too, in mind. In light of President Trump, and I know he gets eccentric every once in a while and exaggerates sometimes. I think all Americans have pretty well know they factor that in when they – hear him talk. That's just the way he is. He's sort of always been that way. But there's almost always truth at the end of where he's going with his comments, even if he gets a little out there with them sometimes. Now, with respect to voter fraud, remember he talked about massive voter fraud in our country. Did he say massive, Fred?
Massive, 3 to 5 million.
Voter fraud in our country. Well, everybody mocked him, including the Republicans, basically. Mocked President Trump on this issue. Now, I want you to think about that when you listen to this gentleman, his comments, on whether or not maybe at least in California there may be massive voter fraud. This fellow you're about to hear is the California State Senate President Pro Tem. His name is Kevin DeLeon. He's a Democrat from Los Angeles. So, as I understand it, he's the second most powerful man in the state of California behind Governor Jerry Brown, himself a Democrat. Now, so listen to this fellow. So he's a very high-ranking Democrat official. And listen to him talk about his family and the situation in California with respect to illegal immigration.
I think we also agree, and I think Mr. Stone and Mr. Anderson will also agree, everyone on this committee will agree, that immigrants who come to this country, the vast majority, irrespective of their legal status, are very hardworking, law-abiding residents who pay their taxes every year. And the reality is, with the executive order and the criteria that has been developed, any individual, I can tell you half of my family, would be eligible for deportation under the executive order. Because if they got a false Social Security card, if they got a false identification, if they got a false driver's license prior to us passing AB 60, if they got a false green card, and anyone who has family members, you know, who are undocumented knows that almost entirely everybody has secured some sort of false identification. That's what you need to survive, to work. They are eligible for massive deportation. So the reality is, this has been politicized. This has been polarized to a degree unlike anything we've ever seen before. The executive actions and those who are promoting this in the White House right now make Pete Wilson then the author.
Fade down. Sandy, wow. Go ahead and comment on that. Have you heard that before?
I have. Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing, Tim. Behind every false ID, a false Social Security card, a driver's license, or a green card that they have is somebody who doesn't have it. We have an epidemic of identity theft. Can I say LifeLock? Can I say that American citizens have had their identities stolen in record numbers? And now he is blatantly saying half of his family, everybody he knows, uses these fake IDs. That means they're stealing information from American citizens to obtain. Now, not with the driver's licenses. They're, because of Barack Obama's push, he was one of the early ones in Illinois and then nationwide to push the fact that when you go get your driver's license, why, gee, you should register to vote. And so we know that a lot of illegal immigrants have registered to vote. We know that for a fact. Now, whether they voted or not, we don't know, because guess what? The laws that say that you have to show ID to vote are being strangled out by the leftist courts, by the Obama administration, by the left. And I guess, Tim, one point that just is common sense. If we did not have a problem with people who are not citizens voting, then why in the world would the left be so apoplectic about voter ID? Why would they be so? Why wouldn't it be natural that you show your ID when you vote, that you prove that you're an American citizen? What's the big deal with that? It's because there is so much voter fraud, and I don't know what the numbers are, but I talk to a lot of people who know a lot of things about this, and I don't think we can quantify it until we do have an investigation. But there should be one.
Well, I objected to Senator Mitch McConnell's. He said this needs to be left to the states. I'm talking about investigating this. President Trump had said, no, I'm going to appoint Mike Pence, vice president, to have a committee, I guess, to investigate voter fraud. And Senator McConnell said, no, this needs to be left to the states. I don't think this needs to be a part of the federal government. And I lean to states. The deference to states on a lot of issues as well, just right. Like Senator McConnell is advocating right there. The problem with that is it's like the fox guarding the chicken coop. The state of California is not going to find massive voter fraud in their own state, and that would mean that they would be admitting, Walker, that they're not going to find that kind of a problem and make themselves look bad.
The states to which need to be investigated for voter fraud the most are the most liberal states: California, New York, etc., Washington, Oregon. You can't expect those who won't even enforce federal immigration laws in their states to abide by voting laws in their states and investigate themselves.
Yeah, so that's just – anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can visit our – Facebook page for Today's Issues. We're live video streaming there. Walker's posting the article. Did you post what we just heard there?
Yes, I did, from Breitbart.
You did post that? Yeah. And Fred, you want to comment on this story?
Well, I'm just amazed at how comfortable this senator, Kevin DeLeon, was in confessing that half his family in the country
illegally, and that everybody he knows uses fraudulent documents,
which is a crime.
Because he said you have to have them to survive.
Yeah, it's a crime. and so
it's a crime.
It's a crime to have fraudulent documents, Social Security cards.
He didn't have a problem with it.
Green cards. Really? He doesn't have a problem with it. He says, "Oh, gee, they need it to survive." So what?
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, Fred, I mean, and I just let me go back and make my point again, and just think about all of the American citizens we know who've had their identity stolen, their Social Security cards, their identity, who've lost their benefits, who can't get it sorted out. I remember when I was with Fox in Chicago, they used to send a limo driver, and I got to know him pretty well. He was a black guy from Chicago. He grew up there. We developed a nice friendship. He had had his identity stolen, and he could not sort it out. And whoever it was that had stolen it was taking things from him, taking things that he legally had a right to. So this is a very big deal. And the fact that that guy should be so cavalier about it is just, it just is another illustration of the lawlessness to which we have descended.
Well, Tim, suppose you're in this guy's family, and let's suppose you're in the half of the family he's talking about. How happy are you going to be that he just got up and announced to the world, okay, half my family's here illegal? Seems like somebody's going to be, hey, man, shut up. You're going to get us all arrested over here. Or maybe that's just a statement about how far beyond the law this guy thinks it is, that he can say this and there's going to be no repercussion on his own family at all.
It's amazing. Of course, and the other point that has been made, and we had fresh figures on this, just came out last week. Folks who are in this country illegally are contributing to the $26 billion that is sent back to Mexico every year. $26 billion.
Yeah.
So you stop and think about these. These are people working in America. They get their paycheck. That it is either number one or number two represents the Mexican economy. That money, $26 billion that should be staying here, which is why Donald Trump, one suggestion is to pay for the wall. You start taxing those Western Union contributions that are sent home to Mexico. $26 billion a year.
Here's the problem. As Donald Trump has said, he ran on this. This was a big, maybe his signature issue. And that is that either you have to be able to control immigration and you have to be able to control your borders, or you're not a country. You're not a sovereign country. And we have a lot of people on the political left in this country, and even some Christian leaders, who advocate for open borders. And that is just, if anybody wants to come, it's our moral responsibility to take anybody and everybody who wants to come, just let them come on in. And otherwise, to turn them down is an unchristian thing to do. And that's a false way to frame it biblically, but this is what they do. They play on your emotions, and they try to make you think that, you know, if you don't agree it, but they won't, most of them won't admit, yes, I'm for open borders, but that's what they're for in essence, because they're against a wall. If you're against open border, why are you against a wall? Who can be against a wall? Why are you against a wall?
Right.
And if you say, well, a wall is not going to work.
That's a fake argument. That's a false argument.
My argument to you would be, then why do you care?
And why do you have a lock on your door? Why do you have a door?
Right.
Why do you have windows?
Right.
Why do you have a garage door? You know, I make it personal because I think that a lot of the people that push for the nonsensical notion that we can't have borders as a nation and we can't stop anyone from coming in to think about their own homes. The Pope, who makes much ado about this, you know, is surrounded by a wall. As I understand, the Vatican has taken in one Syrian refugee family and they're Christians. So, but he makes that much ado about what we should be doing. And I find that Paul Ryan lives behind a fortress, a big wall. Do they tear down their walls? Do they open their front door to just anyone?
No.
No, they don't.
And an interesting note, the reason the Vatican has a wall is because of radical Islamic terror.
Yeah.
Dating hundreds of years ago. And that's
why
they built the wall.
That's good.
You mean the reason they have one in the first place?
Right.
You know, the other thing, this is just... the reason that one of the reasons President Trump won is because Americans want to get control of this. President Obama, we all remember seeing the videos and hearing the stories, he basically had a hands-off approach to illegal immigration into this country. I believe, Sandy talked about this or referenced this earlier, I believe, this is my own personal belief, and after I share this, Ray, you want to comment, and you may go, duh, Tim. Really? You figured that out? I think that the Democrats in this country who don't want to do anything or give lip service to tackling the problem of illegal immigration into America, whether it's overstayed visas or people pouring across the southern border, is they want to these people to eventually be given amnesty. And when they're given amnesty, they'll have loyalty to the Democrat Party, and then they will vote by the millions for Democrats. It will overwhelm the Republican Party, and the Republican Party will cease to exist as a majority party in America, and that's the ultimate goal with letting people pour into the country illegally. That's my opinion. I can't prove it, but that's where I think this is all. The reason this is all going the way it is, and get more people on social welfare programs.
Well, and there was a movie made about your point of view.
Where?
Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh, okay.
Hillary's America.
Yeah.
That's what that movie, just what you just articulated, that's what that movie proved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much for joining us. Who are you having on tomorrow?
Oh, funny you should ask, because it just went through my mind as you, and I was listening, but I had a thought, like, I'm trying to remember. I don't know, but I don't remember who I have tomorrow.
It'll be great.
But, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the
You've been
decision.
Hanging out with Nancy Pelosi or something?
No, okay. I have not. No, we'll be talking about the decision that comes out of the Ninth Circuit later on today. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
All right, tell us, what do you think about that situation? This is the ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They're going to decide whether the judge in Seattle's stay stands or not, right?
Yes, and I have to say that Judge Robart, his decision was just, under normal circumstances, his decision is just ridiculous and not founded on the law. And as he right. you know, makes some broad claim about it being unconstitutional with absolutely no grounds, the executive order is absolutely constitutional. It is absolutely within the rights of the President of the United States to do what he did, but we have an activist court. And also Robart's decision to make this apply to all 50 states was just unbelievable. And if it weren't being heard in the Ninth Circuit, which is known among legal people as the Ninth Circus, because they have issued so many ridiculous opinions through the decades that they are the most overturned circuit court in the country, the Ninth Circus is not likely to adjudicate in Donald Trump's favor. And it's going to go to the Supreme Court then, and which is split 4-4, as we know now. However, I agree with Andy McCarthy, who wrote a piece this morning saying that he doesn't think we can rely on Anthony Kennedy's vote either, because Kennedy is just he's not a reliable vote. So it may come out, 5-2.
Yeah. Well, the Constitution and the statutory
5-3.
If a president of the United States cannot control immigration in this country, then nobody can. It's clear in the law that the authority we read it yesterday. So if the federal court or the Supreme Court can decide that the President of the United States cannot prevent people from coming here for any reason, then we've lost. I don't know what to say. It's a constitutional crisis.
Sandy, what will the executive branch do if their constitutional authority to regulate immigration is taken away by black robe judges?
Well, I'm not an attorney, Walker, but if I had to guess, I would say that he might issue another order, different wording. This is just on this one order. I don't think it'll be a sweeping. Well, I don't think it'll.
Robarts
who knows?
Was pretty sweeping.
Yeah. Well, Robarts is a lower court judge, though, and you know what so I don't know. Of course, the Supreme Court could really be activist and write an opinion that the judicial supremacist thinks applies to all of the president's authority. But I don't think so. Constitutionally, he has the authority to make these decisions. So hopefully that won't happen. But this judge, I don't know if you guys have looked into his past. He's a piece of work. He really is.
He was appointed by President George W. Bush.
Yeah, but it was senators can request favors. There's a mm-hmm. there's a custom. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's where custom. Presidents make a deal with senators in their own state where they can choose a judge. This is a Patty Murray thing. And Patty Murray's the one that chose him. But George W. Bush then had to give the appointment. But it wasn't because he looked through the roster of potential candidates and chose this judge. This judge has a really radical history. One of the things he did in this past year or so was yell out in the courtroom, Black Lives Matter, in the midst of a hearing where Seattle police were being accused of something. He yells out, Black Lives Matter. He has some really bad rulings. He's not a conservative, and he wasn't a pick of George W. Bush.
Well, that's on George W. Bush, though. I mean, it's on him for picking that guy as a favorite. I mean, I know that kind of thing goes on, but that's still a reflection on him. Well, I would just say this in fairness to President Bush. Presidents can't always know what judges are going to do 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years down the road with their rulings. So in that respect, you can't hold them. You can't blame whoever the president is that appointed them.
Well, you'd have to say, Tim, that President Bush is bad. President George W. and his dad both are bad on the immigration. So is Jeb Bush. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in.
You mean on the illegal immigration issue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
and
they wouldn't be upset.
That's why Jeb Bush never got off the ground.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome, Tim. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Ray, any thoughts on what we're discussing there?
Well, I think what's going to happen is pretty much exactly along the lines that Sandy just laid out, that they're going to hear arguments of the Ninth Circuit. You know, on the merits, the executive order ought to be upheld because what the judge did was outrageous. But given the reality of that court, the Ninth Circuit, they're probably going to go with the judge in Washington. And President Trump, I'm just looking here, he said this morning he's ready to take the case to the Supreme Court. And now, Fred, is there any chance that Gorsuch gets on the bench in time to be part of the ultimate ruling on this executive order?
That's really up to the Senate to how quickly they want to move this thing along. Right now, they seem to be taken with trying to get Senator Jeff Sessions and Congressman Price into the full Senate vote to get that done. That seems to be the priority right now. But after that, I don't think there is a timetable set in stone anywhere. He could do it within a couple of weeks, but I got to think this thing is going to move through. One more interesting fact: I was listening to Brian Fisher yesterday talking about this case. In Washington, the Attorney General of Washington State initiated this case to the judge. Brian Fisher was reporting yesterday. This is the same Attorney General that has been persecuting this Christian who runs the flower shop,
the bakery. You're talking about the Kleins?
No, it's
you're talking about the Baronel
Stetson. Yeah,
yes.
He is the same attorney general that's been persecuting her and wants to put her out of business.
Yeah.
So he's persecuting a Christian lady out there who wants to run her business according to Christian principles, but he's all for this case here of open borders and allowing anybody in who wants to come in.
I think the Ninth Circuit, I believe, is going to uphold the federal judge's ruling. I believe the Supreme Court will rule in favor of Trump just because it's such a simple ruling, similar to when President Obama appointed a federal judge during recess, or he claimed the Senate was on recess and they really weren't, and the Supreme Court corrected President Obama, I believe, 8 or 9 to 0.
You're talking about the
recess appointment.
It was a recess appointment of a federal judge, or was it over that?
But it wasn't really a recess.
Wasn't it the labor board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, labor board.
Well, if the Supreme Court of the United States, if you follow what the law says, you have to come down in favor of the President of the United States. If the President of the United States cannot decide who comes in here and who doesn't, based on the law as it's clearly written, then we have a constitutional crisis on our hands, quite frankly. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.